WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
Welcome back to the fifth episode of the 33rd season of Inside Ben Davis Football with Coach Russ Mann. How are we doing today?
Not too bad.
It would help if I, you know, learned to turn your mic on by week five.
We're good.
We'll edit that out. Nobody will ever hear it.
No? I think just keep it in. It gives the show personality. Come on.
Gives us character.
Gives us character.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. We'll leave it in.
Got to keep it lively. Can't have the show so great.
You know, you could do this if you wanted to.
I could. I might eventually.
It's a good three-headed monster.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right.
But last week, again, it was going to be Ben Davis fell to Center Grove in a loss that I felt like you could learn a lot about a team in this loss. I think you could learn a lot about your team in this kind of loss, especially with some guys like a key player like Isaiah didn't, you know, get to come out onto the field and play that game. But you learn about, you know, Goss and, you know, what he can do on the field, and then you learn about, you know, who's going to step up on that field when Isaiah's not out there. And, of course, I mean, everybody's going to assume it's going to be, you know, Mark. It's going to be Elijah. It's going to be, you know, White. It's going to be all those players. But, you know, you actually see who's going to be the, you know, the big leader. Because Goss is only a sophomore. If anybody didn't know that, Goss is only a sophomore. The player that went out there, the quarterback that
Joe
led the
Goss.
Giants. Yeah, Joe Goss was only a sophomore. And so you kind of learn who you have out on the field, who's going to, you know, lead the team when, you know, the QB's not at the helm. What do you have? Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, it was a interesting situation to be in. And Joe Goss, I thought, did a nice job stepping in. And for his first time taking, you know, significant reps as starting quarterback and into a situation with a team that's played in the, you know, semi-state the last 4 years and in the state championship the last three of the last four years. So I thought the kid did a nice job, came in. I thought they managed, like we managed the week. At the beginning of the week, we didn't know where Isaiah's health was going to be. And as we were doing the show last week, we talked through one of the commercial breaks, and that's when I kind of knew when the word might be on a little bit that there was something wrong with his elbow. And it was just a little tingle. He had a surgery there earlier, and everything was just, you know, more precautionary than anything else. It was hit or miss. Sometimes there was some throws that were feeling okay. Sometimes, you know, it wasn't. And so we moved forward, making sure that, you know, we weren't going to, you know, jeopardize his health. And we, you know, we, to give us the most successful game plan, let's go with somebody that was healthy. And I thought Joe did a nice job stepping in. He threw three nice touchdown passes, those two in the second quarter. They had one at the end of the first, one at the end of the second, and then one there in the third quarter. And I think he came in right at the end of each quarter. Like, now that I think about it, so maybe we got to warm him up a little bit. You know, we'll throw a few more in the beginning of the quarter. That can help out. So for a sophomore, I thought that was a pretty good start for him.
Yeah.
When you look at this loss, 42-19 final score, it didn't feel like Center Grove was comfortable. It felt like they were in control. But you guys had a couple of opportunities there that I think, given a little more time to marinate, the offensive situation might be in a little better situation to respond, but it just had to be frustrating not being able to get into the end zone when you needed to in that game. So can you kind of talk a little bit more about that?
The loss at the beginning of the season.
That's a bad way to say a question. Sorry.
It's all right. The loss at the beginning of the season at Cathedral was very frustrating because there were But the positive to it was like you saw a lot of things to like get fixed and get coached. And for the people who would use the phrase like, "Oh, you're not that far away. The score is a you know, it's 24-6." And this one here, 42-19, felt closer. Like it felt you know, there's some young kids and some big areas that were given a place and big moments. And if I look back at the top of my head right now and I go back through three or four of the key moments in that game, they are all first time starters on the field. And that's not an excuse at all. Like, we got to get them coached up, and they got to get them ready. Got to get them in the experience in the week. They got to take the reps in the week. Got to put something that can duplicate the same situation. And you got to start thinking of other situations that they could be in and make sure that they get caught up and to be a two-year starter by the time they're in the playoffs. But some of the significant plays in the game, like the key moments, a 4th-and-10 here or a 3rd-and-10 here, and if the person, you know, we identified as one of the ones that could have been the reason why there was a mistake, a lot of times it was a person that is the first time on the field on a Friday night. So we're getting them caught up. They're getting they're learning.
Crash course.
Very crash course. So the goal is easily, there's one goal to get them ready by the playoffs. And those five games, then we look out like they'll be ready.
When you look at the special teams play on Friday night, that kind of, I think, hurt quite a bit, giving up the opening kickoff. Again, some missed kicks.
That's kind of a chance to cover some.
Kind of, yeah. And then, of course, which kind of gets you playing for two maybe before you want to. So what's that been like, the progress on special teams?
Well, they're coming along now. I haven't been last year. Last year I'd been in AC, and the year before that I'd been NAC, and the year before that had been NAC. So now these are two brand new kickers that are learning for the first time in 4 years. There's some new kickers out there. And I'll tell you, Brian Garcia Diaz is doing a great job, outstanding job. And I'm not just saying that, just like I could hear myself if I listened to their show. That's not a cliche, kind of cliche where like the coach is talking positively about his player. But no, Brian Garcia Diaz, for just learning how to kick a football recently, is doing an outstanding job. And some of the kicks that he had on Friday, like even the onside one that bounced up perfectly over the head, it just bounced up so beautifully that the kid from the middle wall was able to come in and recover it. Or the other one they put on the ground that just sat there, like, oh, you can't get sometimes three-year kickers to make that kick. And Brian's putting some ones out there that are outstanding for us now. There was something that bothers me that we didn't get in time for the one just before half. There's a thing. In order to be as competitive as possible, you got to make sure you take advantage of some of the things that are given to you. And I think we could have maybe exploited something a little earlier, I guess, on special teams, saying it as cautiously as possible. Maybe there's something there for game two. And I'll leave that sentence right there, because that would be something that we almost but are able to even talk about during walkthrough. And would have been a nice opportunity to perhaps steal some other points out there. So if that's enough to maybe make it a little more cautious for game two, then fine. That's fine. But there was an opportunity for some points that we could maybe get the next time.
Yeah. One thing I did want to ask about is just going to be, we're going to flip to the defensive side of the ball, where they had two very quick, it almost felt back-to-back, really, really long throws. There was a deep ball. It was going to be a fade route off of a play action. And then it was a post. It was going to be a post from the slot, and they got over the top. But I wanted to talk about how after those two plays, and like it was the first quarter, nothing else happened over the top. And I think that shows resilience from the cornerbacks, from the coaching staff, you know, instilling that, yeah, we want to keep everything in front of us. And that's kind of, you know, the whole safeties, corners, keep everything in front of you. Don't let anybody behind you. How do you show that to the guys when they come off that field? Don't let them get discouraged. I know it's the cornerback DB saying goldfish mentality, but do you have anything to say about, you know, your secondary?
Well, there's sometimes, you know, like the same thing that we're saying earlier, that sometimes these guys are seeing at a different speed than they saw during the week, and they maybe used to playing on Saturdays, and now they're playing a little bit more on Fridays. And once they see it, it's like yes, there are times that players will give up some passes in their career, but I don't want to say that, unfortunately, we don't have, like, we're getting to that part of the season where we can't have an early, like, oh, that's right, that was what we were talking about. Oh, that was what, okay, yeah. We gave up some that in preparation, we got to make sure that we can take our preparation onto the field and some of the things and tells and preset tells. There's some things and everything. You can go out to a basketball game and there's some specific spots that offensive people will stand before the play begins that will kind of tell you what's coming. And so there were some specific things and some specific
tells
pre-snap that will give you an opportunity to tell you what, you know, what's potentially coming. And being able to take that and use that to our advantage. And that's something that we're getting better with. Instead of, just second guessing it or seeing it as it's coming, like that's looking like it. Don't let the people behind you for sure. But let's go ahead and start making opportunity, like taking advantage of that opportunity, making some plays out of it for ourselves.
When you look at Center Grove, obviously led by Hall of Famer Eric Moore, got his 250th win.
No,
on awesome. Friday night, which you never want to be the one that gives him the 250th win. But this isn't your father's Center Grove football team anymore.
They
do a lot of things differently. I think we talked about it a little bit last
week. I talked
about
it with them before the game.
Used to be the wing tee and belly boot tight ends, you know. It's not really what you see. So as a coach, what's that like to just like – change your stripes pretty much because, you know, he brought that wing tee to Indiana.
And he can still jump back to it.
Oh, and you saw him when the game was, when they were wanting to kind of run clock, they jumped back into the wing tee and there they were.
You know, the funny thing is one of their offensive coaches, last name is Siderwitz, him and his son both coach for Center Grove. It looks like he was – a JV offense coordinator, and he was a wide receivers coach, or he could be coaching quarterbacks as well too. But I think going to the state championship game his senior year, he led the Trojans 2015 to a 14-0 record. And going to the state championship game, he had 930 yards. Gabe McWilliams has already passed that in four games. So, that's what won 9 years ago. What won for Center Grove was throwing about 1,000 yards a season. And then in the first four games, they're already throwing for 1,000 yards. Once you get an identity or you get the arm strength or you get something that, you know, you can lean on and your personnel is going to yearly match it, they have learned a very simple scheme, and sometimes on the outside, of how to pick up first downs. They have these throwbacks that the receivers and quarterbacks are all reading the exact same thing. They're reading either the overhang linebacker, and if they can get to the – where they could touch the corner, they're going to keep running. And if they can't get to the corner, then they're going to break down. And then not only do they break down, but they are going to come all the way back to the line of scrimmage if they have to. And the quarterback will tell the receiver, wherever the receiver's throwing the ball, he knows that he's not going to be tackled right away. The quarterback is throwing it far enough away that will buy the receiver time. So they don't look the same every single time on a situation of a pass. They'll do it where they're switching the number one receiver and the slot receiver. And it's something that we've privately been working on ourselves, just trying to make sure if it's a second and nine, third and nine, picking up that first down and moving the ball, moving the chains. And it's a lot easier for Eric Moore to do that and pick up a first down on second and nine than run two more running plays in the wing tee. So he's changed his identity because if it works and it's high IQ football and you have the personnel to do it yearly, why not? And so that just lets you know how good of a coach he is, that he just isn't the Bobby Knight staying with that motion offense. Like, he's evolved. So he's a hats off to him. That's why he's got 250 victories.
Yeah, a lot of coaches and everybody at different levels call it a changing culture. It's, you're going to change the culture of your team to – and that's the mark of a really great coach, is you don't just stay in one thing for your whole career. Like when they have Carson Steele, they're going to give the part Carson Steele. Like, he's going to get playing time.
The old
this
war
Sunday.
Horse, I think they called him.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get playing time this Sunday for the Chiefs.
And his alligator. I saw his alligator got some.
I did see that. It was insane. But, and that's something, you have changed your playbook based on the guys that have been around.
You have many times every year, whatever you can make your identity, whatever makes gets the best football players on the field, whatever makes them do it, they'll play their best football for sure. Change the idea, identity all the time.
That's just something you know you need to know as a coach, is that not the same thing that last year worked is not going to work this year. You can keep those kind of things and keep them in your back pocket, but absolutely, they're going to work as well. Count it. We're gonna take a little break real quick, and we'll be right back. I'm gonna talk about this week versus Warren.
Thanks to Chuck Baer of EXP Realty for his support. Chuck Baer with EXP Realty offers services such as analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Baer of EXP Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Baer of EXP Realty.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Baer Realtor.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football. We're going to talk about this week. It's going to be Warren. It's going to be at Warren High School at 7 p.m. is when kickoff is going to be, where we're going to start our broadcast around 6:45. Going into this game, you are going up against a team who has not let up, not even a field goal, not even a safety. Like, they haven't let up any points this year. How do you know as a coach? I know you can't let it affect you, but how do you change your thinking about a team that, you know, hasn't let up any points?
Well, it's not changing things so much, but, like, definitely honor it. I mean, it doesn't matter what level. You know, you go four games without giving up a point. That's pretty impressive. And so, even better, in the last seven games, they have six shutouts. Like, last year, they gave up 14 to Center Grove in the regional game and lost 14-0. And then the two previous games before that, they didn't give up a point in the playoffs. So, you gotta make sure you honor that. And you don't underestimate it. You know, you don't act like, you know, there were some things I said during the Pike game that, you know, that they had got those wins against Hamilton County Schools and welcome back to Marion County. And I was just kind of like, making sure that people understood that, you know, now you're playing MIG football, just kind of adding a little fuel to the fire, maybe a little doubt in people's brains that, you know, okay, now maybe those this is a different version of a team. We can't underestimate this. This is a pretty good accomplishment. They got a lot of players on the field that have been starting for quite some time now. They definitely understand Friday Night Football, and they understand football, and they can pick up on the different offenses that are coming at them. So, we definitely got to respect the opponent in front of us.
When you look at Warren Central and this Ben Davis team, these two teams have now met 99 times, which is remarkable, going all the way back to 1937. First meeting was, I believe, September 23rd, 1937. So you go all the way back there. Warren leads the series 58-38 with three ties in there. It was a scoreless tie in 1966. So if you like defense, they did play to a scoreless tie.
There's going to be some good defense Friday.
Yeah, and certainly. Like, but you look at this series, and we talked to Coach Mike Kirshner earlier today. You'll hear that actually interview replayed after this. We talked to Coach Kirshner, and he talked about his memories of this series. You've been on both sidelines as well, as an assistant coach under Jason West and Mike Kirshner, and then an assistant here at Ben Davis, now the head coach at Ben Davis. So what are kind of your recollections about Ben Davis and Warren? Is there more juice in this game than maybe another game?
Well, I'll tell you, like, being in that school, there's definitely, you know, I taught in that school for 9 years, and there's definitely a hatred for the color purple. And I'll tell you that there's one man that did it, and he is, if he ever listens to the show, he knows exactly who it is. And anybody that's listening to it right now knows that Steve Tutsey was the man that made the color purple, like a hatred for the color purple. In fact, at one point, I believe he bought a van that was purple and put it out in front of his house. For, like, I don't know. He called it the Evil Empire, and there was no student or any teacher in the school that could wear the color purple. And our first season there was in 2013, and we were fortunate enough to win the state championship, and I did not wear any purple that year. And now the day before spring break, I had a little lavender in the shirt. And I remember my department chair coming up to me going, she looked at me, dead serious question. She just goes, are we allowed to wear purple now? And I was like, I looked at my shirt and I was like, oh my goodness. And like, I mean, there's nobody over there that's allowed to wear purple.
Oh, that's great. I had never heard that story before.
Oh, and I would assume Coach Stussy's coached there another year. This was 2 years ago. So I'm assuming that the purple hatred is definitely there. And is any game more important than another game? If you do that for high school football, if you do that for any, then what you're talking about 16, 17, 18 year olds, and you're talking about playing with a lot of emotions there. And if you get too hyped up for one, okay, if you come out and you play on fire, and then the adults in the program don't have the same emotion that they're coaching with the next week, then you know, your team has a very strong chance of laying an egg, at least when they come out in the game. So you got to make sure you're even keel and you're always coaching at a high intensity. But this one right here, I think is going to have there's definitely going to be some focus at the beginning of the game. There's going to be some juice to it. So, and especially with us taking the lead 10-9 in the state championships, and this team for Warren being one that's circled as a contender this year, there's going to be some there's definitely going to be some extra emotions.
But has there been an adjustment for you? Because I know I talked to Coach Kirshner, and he said, you know, he had been an assistant at Warren, left, went to Cascade, came back to Ben Davis as an assistant.
He said that was weird.
Yeah.
He said it was weird.
He said it was different because, you know, it was the team that he tried so hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Now he was trying to beat the team that, you know, he walked the halls and
that was where the evil empire kind of came about. Like once he left to go to Cascade and Coach Tutsi had come in, everybody was trying to catch up to Ben Davis at that time.
That's right.
Listening to that, like you said earlier, the heyday of the 90s and like what Ben Davis did for high school football, and everybody was trying to catch up to him in the 5A level. And there is now changing schools. This is the third different school. I've been at four, but three different times I've had to change. Being on the other sideline for a game, for one that you've always been on the other one, there is a little difference to it at first.
Yeah.
For sure. And then it was strange. Now, I had coached
games. This would be, the second time back over there?
For myself, yes. Now, I'd coached games at Warren before.
Right. When you were in North Central.
And LC. The last game I had coached on that sideline was we were at LC and we knocked them out in the tournament the second round. And 2 years ago was weird for a second because it had been 9 straight years on the other sideline and going back. But I had done it before, so it wasn't weird. And it won't be in there 2 years ago and then going back last year for the JV game. But for Coach Kirshner, I could imagine being even more strange because he went to Warren and then coached against the team where he went to and then – Coach Dad, I could see that being more strange the first few times for sure.
And then coming back here, and now he's on the other sideline here. And you remember that crazy game, 57-56.
That one, I remember coming off on when it was 50 to 40, 43, I think it was. And I said something to him as there was a timeout. And I go, Coach Kirshner, I said, sorry about this, but I told him to let him score. That's the only way we're going to win. And that was to let him go up. But, to 56. That was it. I was like, that's the only way they're going to win this game.
Quick story. After that game, I don't know if I've ever told this story. After that game, I went down to the Warren locker room to congratulate Coach Kirshner as he came off. He comes off and we're talking, and one of the kids opened that door and it went right into his shin.
Oh, I bet that felt good.
Gosh darn it.
That's how the whole game felt. That was a good one.
Oh, man. That was he's limping around there after that. So sorry, had to throw that in.
It's all good, Mr. Easter. They have Warren has played two mixed schools. They have played the Lawrence Central and they have played North Central. Now North Central and Lawrence Central are both 0-2 in the conference right now. So going into this game where Ben Davis is 1-0 in the conference, it's kind of feels like a little different game in the MIC so far. Because again, you start MIC game, MIC play is going to be extremely more difficult than what they've gone into. Snyder was really good. They only let them put up 15 points against Snyder, Fort Wayne Snyder. But
top 10 team.
Top 10 team. They've had really, really a couple really, really good wins.
And also, not to jump in on your question, but Ben Davis has a long winning streak going in the MIC right now as well.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Hey.
think.
You guys went undefeated in the MIAC last year.
We did.
Yeah. And the year before.
Yeah. So, you know, they're getting into the
pressure.
Yeah.
They're getting into the top heavy, you know, part of the MIAC, I feel like, going into this.
Absolutely.
They're going up against, you know, Lawrence North. They're going to go up against the Pike, the Lawrence North, Ben Davis. You know, they've got those teams to go. So they're getting into the harder part of this MIAC schedule. So going into these games, you know, again, you're also getting into the harder part of the MIAC schedules. So going into this game, how do you approach the rest of the MIAC conference as you go into this game?
No, we got some doozies here back-to-back-to-back. We have this game against Warren, and I mean, I'm not even looking past that one right now. Like, I can't even imagine doing that, but... it goes Lawrence North and then Carmel and then LC and then North Central. So, like, right now, my focus is just right here. Like, and our focus is just on this game right here. Like, we got to find the best version of ourselves. We got to find our best versions for make sure we're our best version by the playoffs. And so we're going to find those players that want to fight. It was like, you know, for every possession, every point, every you know, their starting job, we want those that are dogs, like those that when the cookie's on the table, they're going to eat that. If one versus one, they're going to get that cookie every single time. I use that reference a lot. Like, if it's just one, if it's a table in between you and the other person, as soon as the referee says go, who's going to get that cookie on the table? In the first quarter, you get it, and you could eat that cookie 25 times in a row, and you could be full. But the 26th time they put that cookie on there, you still win, and you just put the cookie in your pocket, and you're going to eat it later. Because you want to win every single rep, every single time, and those are the players that we need to find right now.
I think one takeaway.
I'm hungry for cookies now.
One thing I can take away from last week that I did really, really like about Goss is that Goss gave the playmakers opportunities to make big plays. He gave Zachary 50-50 balls that I think it's not a 50-50 ball with Mark Zachary. Let's be honest. It's more of a 60-40, 70-30 ball. You know, I did like that. I think there's been a lot that I liked about that last game, and I've also liked about Isaiah. And so it's just been, I think the footing is kind of getting there. You guys are finally finding your footing. One team I do kind of recognize you guys through is going to be, and I hate to say this because I'm a Raiders fan, but I hate to say this, but it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs are going to roll around in January, and they're going to be ready.
No, absolutely.
You guys are going to roll around in January, know your weaknesses, know your guys' strengths, and you guys are going to be ready.
November.
Love where the reference is going, though.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that, you know, I think you guys could be, is that you guys are find out all your weaknesses, all your strengths, and you go into the, you know, to the state tournament, and you go in and knowing that, I know, as a coach, you know what's going to work, you know what's not going to work. And I think that's something, you know, key in a season is knowing going into those kind of games.
100% nailed it. The thing that's delicate about the situation is that those are professional professionals that are very mature and they can understand what they're trying to do during that process. Mm-hmm. And we're dealing with some 16, 17, 18-year-olds that are very delicate and, like, too many losses will really hurt the confidence. So I'll tell you, you know, a win this weekend will really start to change our confidence.
Coach, before we go here, I kind of look back to 2019. I know we talked about this. Well, I think I texted you about it, actually, on Friday. Go back to 2019. Warren comes in number one. Ben Davis is not. The Giants had struggled mightily, barely got by Pike. And so you really favor Warren Central coming off a state championship. Blah, blah, blah. They're coming in. Big, mean team from the east side. And the Giants came out with a win, and it really set the tone because Ben Davis only lost two more times that year.
Yeah, when you texted me that one, too, I remember the defense effort we had that evening. We had scored 7 points on defense in the regular part of the game. And then
and you're on the other sideline.
I was on the other sideline at that time, and we blocked a field goal. That was the game-time field goal, and it was 17-14. But unfortunately, we had people running on the field, and then they got the re-kick to the field goal. And so then it was 17-17 going in overtime. And then there were 13 more points scored. And when I always say we, I always think of the defense.
Yeah.
And like, and I always say we because, like, in my head, I was thinking of Sumner too, because Sumner was a defensive guy. We're just thinking about the extra points that happen when you go into overtime, because when a game's end in the regular period, or the just the regular game ends and doesn't go into overtime, then you don't have extra points put on your like defensive average. So right. When I say we, I was thinking in my head, like, and Sumner has some points added on it too. So yeah, the game could have ended at 17-14 with the Warren Central Warriors winning, but there were some players that ran on the field to celebrate the field goal before it was over. And then the field goal was able to be re-kicked. So yeah, it's kind of the same situation where there's a team that's 4-0. We were not 4-0 at that time. We had lost to Trinity 17-14. But we were ranked.
That's right. Yeah.
3-1 versus 1-3. And I listened to Inside Ben Davis Football that week too. And
yeah.
I listened to Coach Simmons talk about how good the Tuesday practice was, and there was music playing. And you know what? There's music playing at our practice today. So
well, there you go.
Actually, thank you, Coach Russ Mann, for coming on to the show again. This is the 33rd season, 5th episode. This weekend is going to be against Warren Central at Warren Central High School. Kickoff is going to be at 7 p.m. Thank you, John Easter. Thank you, Coach Russ Mann. We will see you guys next week after the Warren Central game. Thank you guys for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.